This is Danielle Robay from Bookmarked by Reese's Book Club. A new car is kind of like a new book. It takes you places you never thought you could go. What will you drive into the next chapter of your life? It's fun to dream about your next car, but when you're done dreaming, you need to head to Cars.com. Cars.com has the tools and expert advice to help you find your dream car. Their advanced search filters allow you to explore 2 million new and used cars so that you can find the perfect car. Start your search with Cars.com. Where to next?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Should we all be taking creatine?
I don't know if you've seen creatine content online. Whenever you talk about it, you get no less than 100 different questions about it.
Like so many questions.
Yeah.
I'm not a scientist or a data collector or whatever you want to call it, but am I losing muscle mass? No. Am I building it? Maybe a little here and there. So, you know, what aspects of creatine contribute to that versus how many times am I going to the gym? You know, who knows?
Therein lies the rub, right? You want to think that you're doing something good for your body, but I don't know how to measure that.
Could this work for endurance? Could it work for a muscle mass maintenance in the elderly? Could it work for brain health? These new research studies coming out have really triggered a lot of interest because now you're taking a well-studied supplement and saying, well, what if it did these other things? And that's exciting for folks.
Listen to the full episode of Health vs. Hype with the American Medical Association on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, opening the spirit door. A conversation with Connie Koenig. Connie Koenig is a paranormal investigator, Reiki master, hypnotherapist, psychic medium, and full Mesa carrier shaman. Through her life and research, she's been physically attacked, tormented by spirits for long periods of time, and more. Today, she specializes in past life regressions, guiding people to find out more about their experiences and history. Today, we learn about her journey and passion for the paranormal.
Of course, as a child.
Yes.
You know, I have always been obsessed with the paranormal, obsessed with, watching scary movies from a young age. That actually like changed as I got older, but that's a whole nother story. But when I was very, very young, I want to say maybe like 4 years old, I had my first experience in my house. I was sleeping and I woke up suddenly and I saw this shadow on my door. My door was open and there was some light coming in through the window. And I saw this solid black shadow. It was very tall. I can still see it when I think about it. I could see its hair. I could see, you know, everything just perfectly detailed, and it did not feel good. And, I was just like screaming. And finally my mom came in and she tried to, dismiss it and say, oh, you know, it's the reflection off of my mirror in my bedroom, reflecting off of your mirror. And, you know, she's just trying to make something up to make me feel better.
Sure.
But I knew, you know, it's kind of like I had an inherent knowing that there was more than meets the eye. And I was very, very fortunate because my dad, he was very much into metaphysics and karma and reincarnation and things like that. And so I grew up having somebody who was very supportive of that. So it was kind of like, you know, it was just part of my world. I just knew that other things existed. And also from a very young age, I could feel, you know, I could feel different energy, but I didn't know how to discern whether something was harmful or not. So in all honesty, a lot of times I would just freak out. because I just didn't know. You know, it's kind of like if you don't relax into it, you're not going to know whether something is harmful or not.
Sure.
Because it's just different. It's different. But when, you know, I think especially when you're a kid, it's just hard to do that. So, you know, I grew up having a dad who was very, very supportive with these things. And I could talk to him about these things. And it just, you know, kind of escalated from there. But at the same time, I had a love-hate relationship with the paranormal and scary stuff because I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough of, you know, seeing things on TV, reading books, scary movies, things like that. I couldn't get enough of it, but I did not want to have a frightening experience when I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of that first experience that I had. I wanted to somehow control it and only have these experiences around other people, which of course, you know, you can't really do. So, you know, as I got a little bit older, excuse me, I would coerce my friends into going to cemeteries and checking out the local urban legends, the Crybaby Bridge, the hill where, you know, the children would push the car up the hill, and, you know, spooky roads and things along those lines. You know, I was the ringleader in that, like, oh, you know, we have to go check this out, or I heard about this, let's go look.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I was blocking my own abilities, and things would kind of slip through here and there. And I would kind of sometimes try to dismiss it, or I would just try to pretend that it wasn't happening, because I didn't want, you know, like I said, I didn't want to have an experience when I was by myself. Like, my worst fear was to see something in my room that was gruesome, standing there staring at me, you know, that was like my worst fear. And so, you know, as I got older, I started going to larger locations. I went to this hospital. I grew up in Maryland, and there's this hospital, and it's absolutely amazing. And unfortunately, I think they tore it down. There were several buildings on the property. There were tunnels connecting the buildings. So we would go into these tunnels and go to the other buildings and explore. And there were patient files that were still there. The place was just absolutely incredible. But sometimes we would be in the tunnels, and the tunnels were flooded, and we would keep walking through, and we're like in water that's up past our knees. And now thinking about it, I'm like, that's really gross.
Sure.
Like, I don't think that was probably the most sanitary thing to do. But we did it, you know, just for mm-hmm. the sake of exploring. And we had some interesting experiences in this hospital that really, you know, just made me want more.
Yeah.
And you know, luckily I had people that I could do this with that I trusted, that never put me in any type of danger or anything like that. So it just kind of escalated from there. And now I just live a very paranormal life all around with the things that I do for a living, and, you know, trying to explore as much as possible and travel. And, you know, I do residentials, and also I try to go to big locations. So, you know, it's just very much always have been a part of my life.
Sure, sure. Sounds very much like it. Hey, back to our conversation in just a second. Maybe a weird question, but I'm going to ask it. Are you a witch or want to learn more about witchcraft? Perhaps places like the internet have left you feeling overwhelmed and oversaturated with information. I don't really know where to start or if what you're doing is right. Well, grab a coffee, sit down with Robin and Maria from Coffee and Cauldrons Podcast. Coffee and Cauldrons Podcast. It's a weekly podcast where they discuss all things witchy with you. Their bi-monthly main episodes discuss upcoming and lunar phases and how we can utilize those in our own practices, as well as tarot cards of the day. They explore different topics to help you expand your magical practice from an inclusive and realistic approach. They have a thriving community, both thoughts both through the podcast as well as online to help you build your practice. In between their educational episodes, they host things like a call and coffee talk episode. They are monthly episodes that explore witchy pop culture, tips, ghost stories, and all things magical as a sit-down chat that includes the community. Check them out. Join them on their magical journey. Grab a cup of coffee and sit down and start making some magic with the Coffee and Cauldrons podcast. Tell me more about that hospital that you were exploring. You had mentioned that you had had some experiences there that continued to fill that drive and that interest into the paranormal. What were some of those things that happened?
Well, interestingly, and this has nothing to do with the paranormal, but I got poison ivy on my face the very first time I went to this hospital.
Oh.
And I was with 10 other people, and somehow I ended up with poison ivy all over my face. We went through a patch of woods that was like teeny, teeny, tiny, and somehow I ended up with the poison ivy. And so that kind of derailed me for that summer from doing any more exploring. But I went to that hospital, I don't even know how many times, but the very first time I went in, I climbed through a window and I was in the chapel. And I was just blown away because I didn't know what room I was going to be in. Mm-hmm. And I went in and there were hymn books all over the floor. It just was, you know, incredible to just all of a sudden just be in that situation. When we were exploring the very first time, I remember we were hearing this machine type sound. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what it is. And we're like, you know, is it the elevator? Is it something from the boiler room? You know, and we're trying to figure out what it is. And then it kind of dawned on us, like, there's nothing running. There's no electricity. So how could this noise even be possible? And we kind of followed it into this boiler room. And we go in, we don't hear the noise in there. And what was kind of scary is we saw this, it looked like a giant cage that you could put a person in. And I don't know why that was there. I don't know what the purpose of it was. It didn't look like it was to protect some sort of machinery or pipes or anything like that, because there was nothing inside of the cage. And it's not like there were pipes or, you know, even marks on the wall where something had been ripped out or anything like that.
Sure.
So, you know, at that point, we're like, okay, you know, maybe this noise led us in here and we're not supposed to be in here. So we kind of got out of that room.
Mm-hmm.
And another time we saw this light. It was like a light anomaly down at the end of the hallway go from one side to the other. And that blew my mind, just seeing that with my own eyes, this small light anomaly and the way that it moved, you know, it was just very flowy and it just went from one side. I think I said one side of the room. I meant one side of the hallway to the other. It just went across from like room to room. That really like wowed me. And back then I didn't have equipment, you know, we didn't have these things. So I would just, you know, go in and explore and use my senses and things like that. And that light anomaly, you know, that really, I was like, oh my gosh, I want more of this. There was another time when we were in there and we went down a floor. So we went down the stairwell and there were four of us. We go down the stairwell and all of a sudden we hear somebody above us running, and they run to the stairwell and they start coming down the stairs. And so we stop because we don't know if there's another person in the building. We don't, you know, there could be people in there and you might not know. So we were waiting to see what was going to come out. Nothing came out. Nobody came out. There was no way it could have started to descend the stairs and then go back up without us hearing. And we were positive that it was coming down towards us. It's not like it went into the stairwell and went up.
Sure.
So, you know, that kind of freaked us out too. Another time I was with a few people And there was a guy, and I never went back there with him again, because he decided to run off on his own so that he could come up and scare us. And I knew that that's what he was doing, and I wasn't very happy about that.
Yeah.
So he runs off, and you know, there's debris in this place. It's not, it wasn't super dangerous or anything like that, but you know, I really wasn't happy about some guy running off trying to scare us.
Sure.
And all of a sudden he comes down the hallway and he's like, hey. And so you know, we came out of the room that we were in, we're like, what's going on? And he said, you know, I was trying to scare you guys and I was trying to sneak up on you, and I heard somebody sneaking up on me, and I don't want to be here anymore. And I was like, well, that's what you get. You
sure.
know? That's what you get. You know, those were some of the more interesting experiences. We heard banging sounds, you know, quite a few times. There was one time where I hadn't heard like a disembodied scream or anything like that at that point. Had I heard a disembodied scream at that point, I probably would have freaked out and not have left.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, that's one of the things that I think is one of the scariest things to experience personally, is hearing something like that. I had a crazy experience with that. But I did hear talking. You know, we heard talking. We heard conversation. It was very muffled. And when we heard that, you know, it was exciting. It wasn't scary. And so I really enjoyed this place. I think that overall, you know, it was a great place for me to get my feet wet with a larger location, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that. And I, you know, I'm upset because the last I heard about the location, they were going to tear it down and put a bunch of houses there. And I've always wanted to see if I could get back there. I'm in Florida now, so I'm a little bit far away from Maryland, but it's probably not going to happen even if it is still standing. If they haven't torn it down, I'm sure that it will be soon.
It's an interesting thing to think about, too, when I'm just an opinion-based question here. When a location like that is so active, gets torn down, and then the subdivision ends up going there. What are your thoughts on that subdivision? It'd be the building itself, the place that was familiar to the spirits and such, places that they would have roamed the halls of while alive, is gone now. Do locations like that still continue to be haunted even then the building is gone and other structures have been put in their place?
I definitely think that it's possible. There was a psychiatric hospital, or I don't know if it was necessarily a hospital. I can't think of, you know, the correct. It was like this, it was a building where they just had people with psychiatric issues, but it was relatively small. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know if it was like a halfway house for them before, you know, they could send them off to the hospital or try to transition them. I'm not sure because it was so long ago when I was a kid, but I remember they tore it down and we knew, like, you know, all the kids knew that this place, you know, was haunted. It was just this haunted location, and they tore it down and they put houses up. And I actually befriended somebody who lived in one of the houses on that property. And she had said that she felt uneasy in her house sometimes, and, you know, some weird stuff would happen. And, you know, even, you know, her parents kind of felt weird sometimes. So I do think that they can linger. I think that they can also leave, you know, perhaps at that point, you know, maybe they're willing to look into the light, or, you know, see the reality of the fact that they don't have to be there. Some of the experiences that I've had, you know, the spirits don't realize that they're not living anymore. And I firmly believe that when we pass, you know, there are loved ones that come and get us, or guides or angels, you know, that they try to come and get us, but we can choose to not see that, and we can choose to stay. And so perhaps, you know, when it's torn down, maybe they decide to move on. maybe they decide to stay. But also, what if in their realm, they're still seeing things the way they were when they were alive, so they don't realize that it's changed. They don't realize that the building that they were in is no longer in existence. So
yeah. And tell me if you've had this sort of experience, because I've heard this many a times over the years, especially if the structure is still standing, but let's say it's a hotel or something and they gutted it, and then it's been rebuilt from the inside out, and the floors are not exactly where they were before. There's balconies that are not there anymore. There's places. The doors are not where they were. But people seeing these entities kind of going about their business, whether they be something residual or seemingly conscious, but still playing by the rules of whatever the geography of the building was at the time that they were alive.
Yes, like walking into a wall where there once was a door.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe they're hovering off of the ground, where there was a different level or something like that. Yeah, for sure.
Tell me more about, as you kind of grew into this more and more, having these experiences, you know, when you're a child and you're younger and investigating and just having fun with this, to getting more serious about it as you got older. Tell me some of the directions that this took you down.
Well, I went through a period of time where I was having a lot of issues in my life, I guess you would say. I was dealing with being in my early 20s, trying to figure out who I was, trying to figure out what I was doing. I was just dealing with a lot of things. You know, a lot of people in their early 20s, they go through this kind of like crisis of, you know, who am I? What am I doing?
Sure.
What am I supposed to be doing? You know, and I very much was going through that. And I felt like I just didn't fit in. And I felt like, you know, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And I knew people that were super passionate about something, like, oh, you know, so-and-so wants to be a nurse, and like, that's her passion. Or this other person wants to be a hairstylist, and that's her passion. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? I feel like I don't fit in. I had all these corporate jobs, and I was still, you know, doing some explorations. I was still, you know, going to the cemeteries and going to these haunted locations and trying to, you know, enjoy myself with that. And I felt like, you know, I'm missing something in my life, and I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So as I got a little bit older, and I did do, you know, some residential stuff with friends and things like that. I definitely did do some of that stuff. But when I got older, you know, late 20s, and I was working a corporate job, it's kind of like I just had enough. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I remember looking around at everybody and wondering what was wrong with them and how they could be happy doing this job. You know, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, how are you okay with this? This is not okay to have this as your existence. And then I realized that there was nothing wrong with them. It was me.
Sure.
And so, you know, that just kind of like upset me more. You know, that just kind of like sent me down a spiral, because I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what direction to go in. I'm not supposed to do this. I would look through all these jobs and all these careers. Nothing was appealing to me. And as I got a little bit older, I found hypnotherapy. And I found it because I was following this guy on Facebook. And he did a lot of meditation and things like that. And he had a program called Quantum Jumping. I always want to say Quantum Leaping, but I know that was a show.
And his name was Scott Bakula.
Yeah, it's Quantum Jumping.
Yeah.
So what that was, it was this meditation that you go into, you kind of go into the alpha state, and then you go to a version of yourself in a different reality. So, you know, you're going into an alternate universe. Like, okay, I want to learn how to sing, so I want to go to the Connie who is a singer, and I want her to teach me how to sing. So you can go and be with that version of yourself, and they can instruct you, tell you what to do, give you the knowledge, things like that. I started getting into that, and it was just fascinating to me. And I started meditating, and that really was helping me. And then the guy said something about, you know, I'm a hypnotherapist, which I had no clue about. And he said, I'm offering a workshop. It's a weekend's worth of training, but when you are done, you will be a hypnotherapist and you can start working. And I'm like, what? You know, this is really interesting. I could do past life regressions. So I couldn't do it because it was in Santa Barbara. It was very expensive and it was 2 weeks away and there was no way it was going to happen. So I said, okay, there has to be something closer to home that I can get into. And I happened to find one of the top schools in the country is in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at. So that school was 9 months long. It was not.
It's not a
weekend's worth of training.
Weekend at the Holiday Inn. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, unfortunately, I kind of lost faith in the other guy that was, you know, a hypnotherapist. I was like, really? You know, you're offering a weekend's worth of training and then this is 9 months long? Like, that yeah. seems a little strange. Knowing what I know now, I am so thankful I did not go through a weekend's worth of training because it is far more in depth than a weekend's worth of training.
Sure.
I would not have been prepared to do the things that I do now. So when I went through hypnotherapy school, it was a huge shift for me. And I started having more paranormal experiences. I would do meditations and I would see other beings coming into the room. And this was just starting to excite me even more. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is exactly what I want. It helped me so that I could clear out the things that I needed to clear out and do some healing work on myself. And I feel like that helped to open me up because, as I had said, I was blocking myself. And it helped to open up so that I saw, okay, you know, I don't have to be afraid of having personal experiences when I'm by myself. So that kind of took me on the path. And then I started having some what I would consider terrifying experiences at my office. The building that I'm still in, I've been there for years now, the building was haunted by a very angry man. And I first encountered him when I was walking down the hallway. I was the only one in the building. There's no light. There's no natural light that comes in through the hallways at all. And it's pretty dark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the hallways that I had just come from felt very heavy a lot. And it was kind of uncomfortable and oppressive, but I chose to ignore it. And all of a sudden, as I was walking back into my office, I stopped in my tracks because there was a man right in front of me and I could see him in my mind's eye. So, you know, people don't always realize, but when you see a spirit, it's not always right in front of your face and you're visually seeing it. A lot of times you're seeing it in your mind's eye.
Sure.
And that's what happened. And it was so detailed. I could see the fibers in his shirt. I could sense how tall he was. I could see his hair. I could see his pants. I could see his boots, but I couldn't see the details in his face. But I knew how old he was. And it, you know, like I said, it stopped me in my tracks. And it was the most vivid thing I had ever seen at that point. It felt like an eternity that I was standing there, but it was probably like 5 seconds.
Sure.
So I walk into my office and I sat down and I said to myself, well, you know, if that's how it's going to be, then I'm fine. Like, this didn't scare me. My adrenaline wasn't going. I didn't feel the need to flee. I was like, okay, I'm good with this. I'm accepting of this. You know, this makes me happy because I know that I'm tapping in. Well, a few days later, I come into the building and I look down the hallway and I see this mist, and it's not in front of my door. It's in front of my landlord's door, and it was kind of brown. It kind of looked like there was a hat on top. And I was just, you know, staring at this thing, and I started walking up towards it because, you know, my door's right next to his, and I put my key in the door and I'm just staring at this thing, you know, just in amazement. Looking back, I'm like, you know, why didn't I try to take a picture?
Sure. Know? Yeah.
And I put my key in the door, I turn the key, and all of a sudden this thing turns and looks at me, and it jumped back like it was startled, like I startled this whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just staring at it like, this is really weird. And I walk into my office and I sit down and I'm like, okay. And, you know, if I'm going to visually see and this is how it's going to be, you know, then I'm okay. So again, I'm like, I'm okay. Nothing happened. My adrenaline isn't going. It was pretty cool. So from that point on, this thing started terrorizing me. And I feel like it's because he knew that I could see him. He would make me feel like I was in danger. I could feel like if there were other people in the building and they left the building and I was the only one there, I could feel it immediately. Mm-hmm. The air in the building would change. It would get super, super heavy. And I would see things like mists in the hallway. I would sometimes hear tapping sounds. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to allow this to interfere with my business. So I was very, very firm. Mm-hmm. I was scared at that point, but I was very firm. And so I said, you are not coming in my office. You are not messing with my business. You are not messing with my clients. That's it. You are not coming in here. And I was super, super firm about that, even though I was scared. And there were times where I would be at my desk working and I would feel him standing in the doorway, and he wouldn't come in, but he would stand there. And I would turn and I would look at the doorway and I would just stare and I wouldn't see anything. And then it would just kind of go away. It's kind of like we were having a standoff. Well, it started getting worse. And I started just really getting this feeling that I could get hurt. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out a way to get rid of him. I knew it was a male. I felt like he was mentally ill. But I didn't know what to do at that point. You know, I had done all these investigations and things, but I didn't know how to solve a problem. So I'm burning the sage. I'm using the salt. I'm a Reiki master. So I'm throwing Reiki symbols and chanting and playing spiritual music and, you know, in the name of Jesus, you need to go, and trying to encourage him to go into the light. And I'm trying all these things, and I couldn't get into all of the suites in the building, but he went into one suite. It's like I would do all these things, and it's kind of like I would irritate him, and he would just go in the suite for a while, you know, and it's kind of like, well, you're getting on my nerves. I'm going to go over here.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't go. And I didn't know what to do. And I would go to metaphysical shops. I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And they tell me to do something and it didn't work. And I noticed that I started having these really intrusive thoughts sometimes when I was working with clients. You know, it's like I'd be sitting there talking with them, and then all of a sudden I have this feeling like I'm going to cuss them out. And I'm just like, why is this happening? Like, yeah. This is weird. And I was really concerned about it because I was thinking, you know, am I going crazy? Am sure. I having some sort of mental illness, you yeah. know, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. So one day, it was a Sunday, I had a client come in, and, you know, it was to the point where I would never be in the building by myself. I would walk outside with clients. I would you know, wait in between clients outside. And that was kind of awkward. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm standing outside waiting to go in, waiting for a client, you know, it's kind of like, well, why are you outside? You know, yeah. Oh, you know, I just wanted to get some fresh air. And, I felt like that was kind of weird, but I felt like I didn't have a choice because oftentimes I was the only one in the building. So Sunday morning, I had a client and we walk into the building and she sits down and she looks at me and she says, I was afraid to come in here. I said, what do you mean? She says, I just, you know, I didn't want to come in because of the building. And I felt a sense of relief because I was like, okay, you get it, right? And she said, you know, I'm a medium and I grew up in a haunted house and you've got something going on here. And we're talking about it. And all of a sudden I hear a disembodied scream in the hallway. And I just looked at her and my mouth dropped. And she says, oh, you can hear. I said, what are you talking about? And she said, you're not hearing that physically. You're hearing that psychically. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked and I was mad because I didn't want to hear that. It shook me and I did not want that ability. I literally got up and was pacing back and forth in my room because I was so angry and I realized I had been hearing these screams for a long time, but I was blocking them out. So it's like, I'm going back now and I'm like, oh my gosh, remember the time when I was at my desk and I was trying to make this thing and I heard this scream and I said it was the modem and I believed it, you know, so I'm going back and I'm remembering all these times when I was hearing it. And I was really believing the lie that I was telling myself. And it was so strange, but, you know, it was a coping skill.
Sure.
This thing started screaming my name in the hallway. And that was very disturbing to me. Whenever you hear something like that, and it's in your place of business, or it's in your home, it's really personal. You know, if I'm on a location and I hear something like that, I'm like, that's cool, you know, but hearing that in your space, it's a bit different. So this screaming is going on. We're seeing these shadows walk back and forth outside of my window. And we didn't know what to do. And she was scared. And she's like, I don't know what to do. She's like, you know, God forbid either one of us have to go to the bathroom. So the bathroom is in the hallway. We sat there for about 6 hours and this just kept going on and on and on, knocking, just, you know, I felt like it's like we were surrounded. So finally I just said, you know what? Like, I really want to do the session. I want to do it. We need to do it. And so she said, okay. And, we kind of like took a few nice deep breaths and went into the session. And during the session, I know exactly what I'm going to say and when I'm going to say it. And I could see these words in my head that were not mine. And I was going to completely go off on her and cuss her out. And I'm just like, what is going on? And at that point, I'm like, am I possessed? I don't know what to do. I could see myself getting closer and closer and closer to these words that were not mine. And finally, like right as I came up on them, it's kind of like I pushed them out of my mind and everything was fine. And the instant that I did that, all of the sounds stopped. It stopped being so heavy in the room. Things shifted. And, you know, I thought that that was really odd.
Yeah.
So we get through the session. Everything's fine. And she noticed too. She noticed exactly at which point the shift happened. So after that, I decided, you know, okay, I have to investigate. I have to investigate this place. I really didn't want to because I was afraid it was going to stir it up more, but I need to do an investigation. So I did an investigation with a few people with the team that I was on, and it was really, really intense. It was one of the more intense investigations I've ever had. He would come in and stand in the doorway. It was a black mask. We saw it going down the hallway. We got growls. We got a whole lot of stuff. And then I'm like, okay, now what? You know, now sure. what? Like, I feel validated. But we didn't get any answers and we didn't know what to do. You know, we didn't know what to do at that point.
Yeah.
So, but one thing that I didn't pick up on was that I had set a boundary, like, you are not coming in my office, and he wouldn't. You know, I had power and I didn't realize that.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Connie in part two. Does Connie think that studying hypnotherapy opened her up to being able to see spirits? How did Connie break away from the dark entity that was infesting her office? Was Connie on the brink of being possessed? What is spirit release therapy? And does Connie feel that many people have attachments yet are completely unaware? Those questions and much more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. You sign up at thegravetalks.com. Click Become a Gravekeeper. There you'll get access to all of our bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes of the show, the full archive, and all of our part twos. All there for you to binge away on right now. Go to thegravetalks.com or through Patreon in the Patreon app. Just search The Grave Talks and you'll find us there to get access to all of that content, all of it commercial free. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Do we all need to be detoxing ourselves?
Before I go asking, how can I detox? I have to look inward. Okay, what am I doing? Can I identify at least three ways that my body detoxes and ways to support that? I promise if my message was more dramatic like that, I would have millions of followers and make millions of dollars. But I cannot sleep at night trying to sell someone something that their body already does naturally.
We're living in a crazy world now. I think it's a lot of people fear a lack of control. And as a result of this, this is the way of them trying to make sense of the world and try to take control over their own bodies. So by actively doing something, I'm going to detoxify things, therefore I'm going to feel better, I think is absolutely one of the reasons that detoxifying has become so popular.
Listen to the full episode of Health vs. Hype with the American Medical Association on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Do we all need to be detoxing ourselves?
Before I go asking, how can I detox? I have to look inward. Okay, what am I doing? Can I identify at least three ways that my body detoxes and ways to support that? I promise if my message was more dramatic like that, I would have millions of followers and make millions of dollars. But I cannot sleep at night trying to sell someone something that their body already does naturally.
We're living in a crazy world now. I think it's a lot of people fear a lack of control. And as a result of this, this is the way of them trying to make sense of the world and try to take control over their own bodies. So by actively doing something, I'm going to detoxify things, therefore I'm going to feel better, I think is absolutely one of the reasons that detoxifying has become so popular.
Listen to the full episode of Health vs. Hype with the American Medical Association on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Do we all need to be detoxing ourselves?
Before I go asking, how can I detox? I have to look inward. Okay, what am I doing? Can I identify at least 3 ways that my body detoxes and ways to support that? I promise if my message was more dramatic like that, I would have millions of followers and make millions of dollars. But I cannot sleep at night trying to sell someone something that their body already does naturally.
We're living in a crazy world now. I think it's a lot of people fear a lack of control. And as a result of this, this is the way of them trying to make sense of the world and try to take control over their own bodies. So by actively doing something, I'm going to detoxify things, therefore I'm going to feel better, I think is absolutely one of the reasons that detoxifying has become so popular.
Listen to the full episode of Health vs. Hype with the American Medical Association on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
How to have fun, anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.